in the Gospel of Luke, thinking about Simeon and Anna and waiting for the consolation of Israel and what it means to wait for the consolation of Israel and how we might wait for that consolation. But in order to set the scene, I would have, rather than turning to Luke chapter 2, you just turn with me instead to Isaiah 52. Because, in fact, the Gospel of Luke, particularly in these early chapters, refers back to many Old Testament prophecies, and more than any other, particularly the prophecy of Isaiah, as we'll come to see. And one of the key ones for understanding Simeon and Anna is, in fact, Isaiah 52. Now, Isaiah 52 is in the second section of Isaiah. It's all about the return from captivity. It's about Jerusalem redeemed. And the main protagonist in this section is really the power of Babylon. So a long time after the prophet Isaiah lived. And because of that, we get language about comfort, about release, redemption. And we see that, for example, verse 1. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for no more will the uncircumcised walk through you. It's like this is, the end of captivity, the end of Jerusalem's time under Gentile hands. We see it again. It's like at the start of this chapter, Jerusalem is sitting in the dust. And then the dust, he shakes the dust off her and arises, verse 2, over, shake thyself from the dust and arise, and sit down, O Jerusalem, and loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. This is the end of the exile for Zion. This is redemption for Jerusalem. And we just see that a bit more. It's kind of like drama is added to the story a bit in verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring good tidings. It's like, now the message is coming, the feet of the messengers are going forth to bring this message that the captivity is coming to an end, that Jerusalem is being redeemed. And those messengers are referred to again in verse 8, but in a slightly different way, and this is important. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice together. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when Yahweh shall bring again Zion. The feet on the mountains are really, almost synonymous with the watchmen of Zion, the people who are waiting for this day of Zion's return. And in fact, the key thing, really, that we want to pick up on from this chapter is the joy of the watchmen on this day. Break forth into joy and sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. This is the joy of the watchmen themselves in verse 8, and then the joy of the land in verse 9. There's like this sense of release, this sense of relief. The captivity has ended. My people are coming home. This is the comfort of Zion. And in fact, we add to the scene, this is a digression really, but in verse 11 and 12, it's then like he turns back to the captives and he's like, this is the picture, now get out of Babylon. Depart ye, go forth out of thence, touch no unclean things. Like, get out of Babylon, go home, Jerusalem's being redeemed. Now, why does this matter as far as the Gospel of Luke is concerned? Now, you're probably aware that, in fact, in verse 9, we are given almost the summary of what Simeon and Anna are all about. And the phrases in this verse are, in fact, picked up and replicated in the Gospel of Luke and applied to Simeon and Anna. So look at what it says. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for Yahweh hath firstly comforted his people, and secondly, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. And if we turn then to the Gospel of Luke and just keep your hand in Isaiah 52, those very terms are now used in the context of Simeon and Anna. Here are the watchmen, in that sense, in Christ's day of the redemption of Jerusalem. And in this way, we almost transition from Isaiah's original message of, the actual return from exile into the spiritual application of these things. This is the exile from sin and from death. This is the consolation of Israel in far more fundamental sense than just a release from exile. And this is what Luke is introducing to us. So Luke chapter 2, and firstly, what do we read about Simeon? the almost the key phrase about Simeon is in verse 25, that he's righteous or just and devout, and he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's waiting for comfort. Yahweh hath comforted his people. That's the first part of that phrase. But on the other hand, Anna, in verse 38, we read that she, in that instant, gave thanks unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Those two ideas are brought together and married together, if you like, that were from Isaiah and now in Simeon and Anna. They are the watchmen of Isaiah 52. They are the ones who are looking for redemption in Jerusalem. And the reason particularly why Isaiah 52 is so important in this context is because, like we say, we almost have to pick up that spirit of joy, of relief, of liberty from Isaiah 52 and place it in Luke chapter 2 and to understand the way that Simeon and Anna would have felt at this moment. Because you know, this, when it says, break forth into singing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, who does that apply to more than people like Simeon and Anna at this time? They are the waste places of Jerusalem that rejoice here in Luke chapter 2. We have to understand the spirit of Isaiah 52 and put it in Luke chapter 2. So then, by way of exhortation, and as we bring our minds to Christ, we want to think about each of these characters, firstly Simeon and then Anna, and just pick up on a number of phrases that we read about them in the Gospel of Luke, and then think about how we can apply this same spirit of waiting for the consolation of Israel. So the first phrase that we want to think about in terms of Simeon, and there's two about Simeon, this is, you know, fairly predictable, is we want to think about what does it mean then to wait for the consolation of Israel. How can we wait for that consolation? Well, firstly, what does it mean to wait? And again, surprise, surprise, we will find that the answer to this is rooted in the book of Isaiah. And I think, in fact, these terms are taken from Isaiah. Just flip back again, and just to a different section of Isaiah now, that the mini-apocalypse, chapters 24 to 27, and firstly chapter 25, because we read a lot about waiting for God in the book of Isaiah. And I think, based on how many Isaiah references there are in this section, that in fact, the gospel writer is drawing us back to this section. Isaiah 25 and verse 9. And in that day it shall be said, lo, this is our God, and we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is Yahweh, we have waited for him, we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the spirit of Simeon. This is our God, and we have waited for him. But we can expand on this a little bit more in Isaiah 26 and verse 7. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Yahweh, we have waited for thee. We often think of waiting as something that is fundamentally passive. But that is not the way that Scripture portrays waiting. To wait for God, to wait for his judgments, is to live in the way of his judgments. The way of the just is uprightness, we read. Thou most upright doth weigh the path of the just. We can't wait for something it's like saying, you know, we long for the time when there'll be no more materialism, and then we spend the rest of the week thinking about, you know, the next thing that we're about to purchase. It's not the idea of waiting is in fact an active thing. Are we actively waiting for the hope of Israel, for the consolation of Israel, Isaiah is saying here. Now, just come back again. Why come back to Luke chapter 2? What is it so special about the consolation of Israel? Why the consolation of Israel? And again, you know, it seems, we won't turn there now, but it seems that this is an Isaiah reference. This whole section for Isaiah, 40 to 66, begins with those, you know, the famous words, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. But the very fact that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel demonstrates that, in fact, that consolation had not yet come. the consolation of Israel had not arrived when Simeon was you know, waiting for the whole of his life. And if the consolation hasn't come, then by definition, he hasn't been comforted. And that means that Simeon is in fact mourning. Simeon is mourning for Zion. Simeon is a mourner in Zion. And really, I think that the lesson for us is simple in this way. If we are not mourning for Zion, if we're not mourning that the purpose of God is not being fulfilled in the earth, then how on earth can we expect to share in the joy of the redemption of Jerusalem when it comes? You know, we can't be there just for the good times in that way. Are we mourning for Zion? If we aren't mourning for Zion, then how on earth can we expect to be comforted? And don't turn this up again, but again, in Isaiah, you know, we find this spirit. And again, you can only see examples of men like Simeon in this. To appoint, this Isaiah 61, to them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Simeon, on this day in Jerusalem, was given a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, as he saw, you know, in this little boy, the consolation of Israel, this comfort for his people. Now, the next question is, for this phrase, with what intensity should we be waiting for the consolation of Israel? And the reason we ask that is because verse 29 gives us a hint of this. So verse 29 says, "Now, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Simeon said, you know, let me depart in peace. He says, I've seen this great thing, this salvation. Now, does that language remind you of any other Old Testament character? I wonder if you just turn back with me to the book of Genesis, Genesis 46, because in fact this language is very similar to Joseph. So Genesis 46, and just look at the words that Jacob says as he meets Joseph at this time, verse 13. "Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, and thou art alive." And Joseph said unto his brethren, I will go up, and so on. "I have seen thy face, and now let me die." You know, the intensity with which Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel is the same as Jacob, waiting to see the son who for decades he thought was dead. And we ask the question again, you know, how, with what intensity are we waiting for this consolation of Israel? How much do we want this consolation of Israel to come? You know, but, you know, surely Jacob's intensity is kind of like a different order of magnitude to our own intensity of waiting for that day in that sense. Just come back with me to the Gospel of Luke again. Second phrase about Simeon. And the second phrase is in verse 34. So we're going to skip over the rest of Simeon's example just because of time. And just read verse 34. "And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." Now, again, surprise, surprise, this idea, the fall and rising of Israel, in fact, comes from the prophecy of Isaiah. And again, I wonder if you just turn this one up with me, because it demonstrates what Simeon is talking about here. Isaiah chapter 8. So Isaiah 8. And verse 14, this idea of the fall and rise, this is like the stumbling of Israel. And we see it in verse 14. "And he said, And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence to both houses of Israel, for a gin and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken and snared." There are two groups of people. There are the ones who rise. This is, you know, he shall be for a sanctuary. And there are the ones who stumble and fall. as a stone of stumbling, a rock of offence, they shall be broken, snared, fallen, and taken. And it's those two ideas that, in fact, are summarised in this phrase in Luke chapter 2. But, you know, it's really interesting because, in fact, it says as well that the child will be for a sign. And there's no doubt that that also comes from this context, because then verse 18, behold, I and the children whom Yahweh hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel. Just as Isaiah's children were signs, so Christ would become this sign. And the interesting thing that, in fact, Isaiah's two children, the first one is Shear Jashub, the remnant shall return, the ultimate rise of Israel. But the second is Mer Shalal Hashbaz, you know, the quick to the spoil, swift to the prey. They're the four of Israel. It really, in Simeon's phrase, he is in fact summarizing both of the sons of Isaiah the prophet we see there. But in fact, there's a question here for us as well, by way of hesitation, because really, the people who stumble and the people who rise are all inside the ecclesia. This is not, you know, the unbelievers who stumble and others who and the believers who rise. In fact, both groups of people are found inside the ecclesia. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, you know, which group are we? Are we the ones who stumble, or are we the ones who rise, who this stone will be for a sanctuary in that way? And the question is, how do we know which group we're in? And in fact, we're given some of the characteristics of the group that rise a little bit later on in this section of Isaiah, verse 16, for example. Bind up the testimony. So he's talked about those who fall, and now he's going to talk about his disciples, this remnant in Jerusalem who would be saved. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. I will wait upon Yahweh that hideth his face from Jacob. There's no... it's not a coincidence that this word wait is used in this context here. The remnant, this group of disciples are the ones who wait for Yahweh. And another key characteristic, of course, is these are the ones who bind up the law among my disciples. You know, Isaiah's disciples is really this group. Seal the law among my disciples. And then again later on, unto the law and testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. It's about the differentiating factor in this circumstance is really the word of God. So just come back then to Luke chapter 2. And let's think about this now in terms of Anna. And there's really just one phrase that we want to focus on here in terms of Anna now. And this is a bit later on. So we read about her being a widow in verse 38. And she coming in at that very instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all of them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. When it says there, she gave thanks likewise, that word likewise is actually anti-homologo. And the word anti has really got to do with the fact that that it's instead of Simeon. In fact, these two people, these two elderly people, come together as a unit in the text in that way. We can't view them separately. They are both here together. They're both an example of the same thing, of what it is to wait for the consolation of Israel. Now, also, there's a phrase in here that's really important as well, and it's in verse 37. And she being a widow about fourscore years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers, night and day. Note that phrase there, night and day. And just turn with me briefly to 1 Timothy 5, because in fact this prayer is used of the widows. First Timothy 5 and verse 5. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. In fact, the inspiration for the widow comes from, I think, the example of Anna here,
in Luke chapter 2. She is like the perfect example of this widow who waits night and day. And in fact, this sets off a cascade of passages that talk about this idea of waiting for night and day. And there's no need to turn there, but for example, Nehemiah 1, hear the prayer of thy servants, which I pray before thee, day and night for the children of Israel. Nehemiah has this same spirit. Or Esther, gather together all of the Jews that are present in Shushan. Fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink the 3 days, day nor night. In Luke chapter 18, God's elect cry day and night. Acts chapter 20, therefore remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day. This idea of waiting, of watching for someone night and day, is in fact like the same spirit of Anna here. And the key to this is again found in the prophecy of Isaiah. What does it mean? What, you know, why is this phrase used? Just come back with me to Isaiah 62. Because this phrase is used here, and really this is the key to this phrase. Verse 6. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither thy land any more termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and so on. And we read really about a virgin being married, which fits with the context of Anna. But then verse 6. I have set watchmen on thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of Yahweh, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish Jerusalem in the earth. This idea of being constant in prayer, of being continual in prayer, is about being watchmen. It's about being a watchman for Zion. It's about waiting for God to establish Jerusalem as a praise in the earth. And it's about consistency. There's like a continual aspect to this watching. And again, we ask ourselves, are we watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem in that sense? And in fact, we won't look at it now, but there's a whole cascade of passages that talk about being continually in the temple or continually praying. It's like a thing that is like to be constant in prayer is such an important thing. So, in summary then, are we waiting for the consolation of Israel? Are we actively waiting for this consolation? With what intensity are we waiting for this? And in terms of Anna, you know, how can we reflect the spirit of the widow in our lives? Are we the feet on the mountains of Israel that bring the good tidings of redemption in Jerusalem? And as we break bread this morning, we remember the sacrifice of Christ. And we should reflect this joy that is in Isaiah 52 and in Luke chapter 2 of these two faithful elderly brother and sister. You know, we are part of the Gentile that sat in darkness, which is the phrase that Simeon uses. And you know, we have seen the light of God's Son through his word. Our eyes have seen the salvation of God. And may we reflect on the example of these two watchmen and yearn for the consolation of Israel in the same way that they did.